Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yesterday, the President of the United States welcomed the Philadelphia Eagles to congratulate them on winning the Super Bowl. Less than half of the Super Bowl champion Eagles team showed up. You know, I don't care who the President is. If the President of the United States invites me to the White House for something like that, I'm going to go. You know, it's like the times that I've seen Air Force One landing, either here or, you know, a couple of times when I was in Philadelphia, I saw it in the air landing at Andrews Air Force Base in the Virginia area. When I see that plane in the air, I don't care who's in it. I'm in awe of seeing Air Force One. And I just think sometimes we need to, I don't care what you think of the president, I think sometimes we need to put that beyond the politics and just respect the office of the presidency. Hey, look, I got this from NOLA.com. Perrin's Po' Boys in Metairie is celebrating their 50th anniversary. Alan from Perrin's Po' Boys joins us on WWL. Hey, Alan, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Listen, I just wanted to congratulate you guys. I remember, for the last 50 years, I've been going to Perrin's on and off, and, you're still killing it when it comes to Po' Boys.
Yes, indeed.
But you have other stuff as well. I mean, you're still really known for that gravy enhanced roast beef po' boy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, how do you maintain consistency over the years, over 50 years? Because whenever I go there, the po' boys taste the same, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time in the kitchen making sure everything is cooked right, tasting right. And, my son is learning the same thing, and he's running the Kenner store now, and he should be able to take the torch when I'm ready to retire in a few years.
So you're back there in the kitchen, and you're tasting the stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, have you ever had to, throw out a roast because it wasn't right?
Oh, God, yeah. If it's not up to standards, we don't serve it.
Because, you got to get that roast right. I mean, because a roast can be tough. A roast can be just really tender.
Oh, yeah. We slow cook it in the oven, every day. And then we slice it thin on the slicer. And then we put in our roast beef gravy. And, that just makes it taste so much better.
Yeah. So is that still like one of the popular items on the menu?
Oh, yeah. Roast beef is number one. Fried shrimp po' boys, number two. And our meatball Perrin is number three.
Yeah. All good. And you know what? Good servings, too. I mean, you get a nice po' boy for that. You're not going cheap on the meat.
Oh, no. Never. Never do that.
Now, look, for somebody like me who might not always want to eat a po' boy, I mean, I used to eat more than I eat now. You got salads?
Oh, yeah, we have salads, we have pizzas, we have a half a po' boy that comes with a side. Matter of fact, for our anniversary, starting tomorrow through the 3rd, you're going to be able to get a 2 half po' boys with 2 sides and 2 Cold Barks root beers for $19.75 for the year we started.
Oh, wow. It's amazing. No, I remember when you were new because I grew up in Metairie, and I remember when you were new, and I was at this point I was already in radio 50 years ago, and I was getting your poor voice, and when my sister and her husband come in town, that's the place we have to go. That's where they want to go to get their poor voice at Parade.
I
love that you're in this, and you've been there for so long in this strip shopping center. It's not like this standalone old archaic building. But yet, what matters is what's on the inside, and there is just great tradition at Paran's on Veterans and Metairie.
Oh, definitely. We try to strive to keep it like a New Orleans neighborhood.
Yeah. Now, what if somebody wants dessert? What do you offer?
Well, our famous bread pudding with the whiskey sauce. And then we have sweet potato pies that we bake every day. It's single serving sweet potato pies, which everybody loves.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Alan, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. I just saw on
NOLA.com
that you were celebrating your 50th anniversary. I thought I got to call Paran's on the air and wish him a happy anniversary.
Well, appreciate it. Thank you so much, Scoot.
All right, Alan. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Paran's Po' Boy in Metairie, 50 years old today. And they're going to have a special coming up, so it sounds pretty cool. All right, we were talking last hour about profanity, and Bowen Yang, the Asian on the Saturday Night Live cast, remember when they were called the Not Ready for Primetime Players? That was a few years ago. Anyway, he basically says the humor is hampered because they can't use the S word or drop the F-bomb. I don't know if I agree with that. I think sometimes it takes even more creativity to do something without the use of profanity. And I think it's fine if BS, instead of the initials, if that is said on, say, this show, or, we're not going to do it yet. But I think the time is coming soon when on broadcast radio, just saying BS, just saying it outright, I don't think that's going to be a big deal. I think that's going to happen soon. I think it's going to be a while. Maybe it will never happen that the F-bomb is acceptable. But, I listen to Howard Stern sometimes, and when you hear shows that are streamed, shows that are not on broadcast radio, when you hear podcasts, when you hear YouTube channel shows or watch them, there's a lot of profanity, and it's almost as if profanity has become part of mainstream conversations because of that. But the one place you still don't hear it is in the broadcast media. Now, every once in a while, I've heard CNN say BS, just say it outright. I've heard them say that. And that's not apparently it's not a big deal. And on cable, I think they can say that. I don't think that's a big deal. If they were broadcast, it would be a little different. So if you want to join us with a comment, is it okay for things to start loosening up even more? As I mentioned in my conversation with Professor Michael Adams, I mentioned that, when I first got into radio, people didn't say damn on the air. People didn't say bitch. People didn't say ass. People didn't say pissed or pissed off. So these are things that have become acceptable over time, and I think that's going to loosen up a little bit. All right, let's go to Bridget. Is it Bridget or Bridget in Metairie?
I don't know what
it's just Bridget. Hi.
Okay, Bridget, how are you? I was trying to give you a fancy French pronunciation, Bridget. All right, Bridget, welcome to the show.
Hi. My opinion here, I don't know how much it matters, but where
of course it matters.
Draw a line in society. I think the profanity desensitizes our young and our youth, especially. I have grandsons who play those online games and stuff, and, I walk in the room, and when I was growing up, my teeth would be behind my head for my mom. I don't know about,
Yeah.
And yes, and I know in adult comedy, it's used a lot, but I really feel that, it's, we have to, as a society, draw a line somewhere.
Well, I agree. I'm okay with BS being said, but I think it's okay if the F bomb, if the S word, even though that's part of BS. I think it's okay if there are some things that are still banned on broadcast media. It doesn't have to be everywhere.
Right, correct. And I think just in general, I think that it needs to, we have to, start drawing lines. if it's not really making our lives any better, we can absolutely need to start saying no.
No. Bridget, you use profanity sometimes?
Sometimes I do.
Yeah. Somebody cut you off on the interstate?
A lot, yes.
Yeah. You know, because there's science behind the fact that it is cathartic. You know, it is a way of making language more emphatic and dramatic, and it is a way of relieving you in a way that you feel like you have somehow just condemned something by using profanity in a certain situation.
Yes, especially when someone cuts you off in traffic.
But, all right. Well, I enjoyed the conversation, Bridget. I appreciate you calling.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
All right. You got a comment. The Okanagan Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. All right. Jimmy from Gretna is with us. Jimmy, what do you have?
Hey, yeah, I don't have anything about profanity, and I'm just going to kind of throw this out there. A couple things. One, congratulations to the new Saints quarterback. He's not eating Chipotle. And that's not a slant on Derek Carr, man. Prayers for him and his family. I know Derek Carr's wife had the miscarriage and all that stuff. It's been a chaotic offseason for him. But congratulations to the new quarterback in town, Tyler Shuck. He's eating oysters at Drago's and doing that whole thing. But a couple things. One, Cheech and Chong is going to be at the Rouses today in New Orleans on Carrollton. So anybody who wants to go meet Cheech and Chong, they're going to be there from 2:20 to 4:20. You see the little joke they did there with that.
I know they're on. I know they're on tour. Why are they in town? Why are they at Rouse's?
They've been in New Orleans for a few days, man. They've been eating crawfish and like they were like bartending at the Maple Leaf. It's crazy because you're Jazz Fest now. Like last night, you had a scoot. Jason Bonham was playing at the Mahalia Jackson Theater, you know, the son of John Bonham, the original Led Zeppelin drummer.
Yeah.
He was doing like a tribute for Zeppelin. You had the Revivalists were doing a concert outside of Snake and Jake's. So what you're seeing now more is that the days in between Jazz Fest are becoming more prominent. That doesn't answer your question with Cheech and Chong. It kind of culminates with this event today. And look, a couple more things. I'm totally going from subject to subject.
All right, well, wait, what time are they supposed to be at the Rouses on Carrollton?
Cheech and Chong is at the Rouses on Carrollton today from literally right now 2:20 to 4:20. And they're meeting their fans. Yeah, I just want to let y'all know.
Oh, man, that's cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Total subject changes. This news is going to kind of shock some people, and some people might be happy about it, maybe. It's still a prominent figure in Louisiana political history. You know, David Duke has announced that he has not only cancer, but cancer all through his body, and he only has maybe a month to live. This information is kind of breaking news. And also, one last thing. I know a week or two ago I called up about that principal on the West Bank.
Yes.
That had the child out of wedlock. And there's some new details to this story. I know Ian was following it.
Yeah, I've got the story in front of me about Brandon Cerency.
Yeah, and I heard he gave confession to the priest, and that said priest then turned around and fired him. Now, so he did breach his contract, but he lost his job because he had a kid out of wedlock. You know, some people are arguing, well, a lot of students, Catholic students that go to that Catholic school are born out of wedlock. And as long as they're taking a check, it's a private school. They're trying to make money, which I get. Most private schools in New Orleans are struggling. But, yeah, look, hey, that's some crazy stories here going from David Duke's cancer to Cheech and Chong to the principal. I'm throwing it all out there and letting you figure it out. So, look, have a great week.
All right, Jimmy, listen, I'm glad you called. Yeah, I've got this story in front of me about Brandon Cerency having a child out of wedlock and was fired as principal of visitation of Our Lady School. I want to talk about this. I'm not sure we're going to get to it this afternoon. If we don't get to it today, we will talk about it tomorrow. And there's a petition to bring this guy back. But really, the question is, you know, here's this guy, and he has a child out of wedlock. So, you know, he asks forgiveness, and he's fired. Should the Catholic Church be that unforgiving? And then what about the hypocrisy? There are children that are born out of wedlock and they're accepting the money from the parents to send their kids to that school, and nothing is done to them. If they were really true to their beliefs, then they would not accept children who are born out of wedlock. So, you know, it's a really interesting story. Again, if we don't get to it this afternoon, we'll get to it on the show tomorrow afternoon. All right, if you've got a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Cheech and Chong at Rouse's on Carrollton. Amazing.
Apparently, they're promoting a new THC seltzer that they're selling, and they're promoting their last movie, the last Cheech and Chong movie.
All right, cool. Yeah, and they're also going on tour, I heard. Anyway, Cheech and Chong at Rouse's on Carrollton. That's cool. All right. On this day in 1978, the Clash were part of a Rock Against Racism concert that was a fight against the National Front, which was a neo-Nazi group in the UK. The slogan was Keep Britain White. Eric Clapton supported the group Keep Britain White. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about a resurgence of racism today. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1978, the Clash were, among other bands, playing this concert called Rock Against Racism. But before I get to that, let me just put this out there. Look, if you want to be a radio reporter for Scoot on the Air here, WWL, go to Rouse's on Carrollton, call into the show, and then go up to Cheech and Chong and say, hey, a guy's on the radio talking about you guys being here, and he wants to talk to you. Tell him that I'm cool. Tell him that, like, this guy Scoot is, like, really cool. He does great interviews, and he wants to talk to you. And let's see if they'll do an interview. So if you want to take on that role as reporter for us, go to the Rouse's on Carrollton. Call into the show, 504-260-1870. And then go up to Cheech and Chong and say, I've got this guy. He's like, you know, the big guy in New Orleans, and does a lot of interviews, and he would love to talk to you guys about what you're doing here at Rouse's, and it'd be free publicity for you. So tell them that and see if they come on. I don't know if this is going to happen, but I just wanted to mention it. All right, so let me get back to this concert in 1978. Rock Against Racism and the Clash were part of this. They were doing a concert. 50,000 people were there at London's Victoria Park. They were fighting against a group called the National Front. The National Front is a neo-Nazi group in the UK, and their slogan was Keep Britain White. They were looking for 500 candidates, this group, the National Front, looking for 500 candidates to go into local elections and win, with the promise that they would deport black and minority ethnic people from the UK if they won. Eric Clapton supported that group. You know, the worst concert, in terms of big people, the worst concert I've ever been to was Eric Clapton a couple of years ago at the Smoothie King Center. It was boring. No conversation whatsoever with the audience. And I've known a little bit about this with Eric Clapton, and I really should have just not gone to the concert, because I have no respect for Eric Clapton. I mean, I respect his ability to play guitar, and he's a hell of a guitar player. But I don't respect his opinions when it comes to things like this. Eric Clapton said at a concert in 1976, we should send them all back, before leading the crowd in a chant, Keep Britain White. Eric Clapton years later said he was just joking, but he still continued to support the group. So I don't believe that he was kidding. And it is congruent with other things that Eric Clapton has done. Well, just as a reminder that racism is alive and well, there was a man shouting racist slogans and giving the Nazi salute on Decatur Street. This was caught on camera. And he was yelling white power. This happened Sunday. And the man and several of his friends were in a bar on Decatur. The bartender told WWL TV that the men were wearing shirts and tattoos with white supremacy symbols. And they asked the men to leave the bar. And that's when the men went outside and started shouting white power and throwing up Nazi salutes. I mean, I find that to be disgusting. I don't understand. I mean, I'm white. I don't understand what it is in white people that causes them to so despise other people that don't look like them. I don't understand it. I mean, how can you not look at somebody else and see them as a human being, very much like you? And I guarantee you there are a lot of African Americans, for example, who are smarter than these people who are neo-Nazis on Decatur Street. They have higher intelligence. They're smarter. They're richer. So what do you think? You're going to get rid of African Americans? You're going to get rid of minorities? And somehow you're going to be king? You're still going to be stupid. I mean, it's not going to improve your intelligence if you get rid of people. So, I don't understand it. And then here's a story about a national network popping up around the country of American neo-fascist fight clubs, youth-oriented fight clubs, grooming the next generation to be racists. They're using fitness and sports as an introduction to neo-Nazi ideology. And these are popping up. These active clubs are popping up around the country. And they're using fitness and martial arts as a way of trying to bring in young people to the fascist and neo-Nazi ideologies. I mean, this is disgusting. I mean, it really is. I mean, the idea, and some people are going to fall into this. And I would hope that these young people who fall into this, I hope they learn what they need to learn about fitness and martial arts. And I hope they reject the ridiculous neo-Nazi fascist racism. You know, you can be taught to be a racist. I mean, I don't think anybody comes out of the womb and is a racist. And when you see really young children, when you see young children that have not been taught any bias, they play together, black and white, brown, Asian, they all play together. They don't know racism until they're taught racism. And as a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation, I'm really embarrassed that my generation, many in my generation, not all, but many in my generation, have fueled this racist divide in America. And it's embarrassing because we were a generation in the 60s that promoted equality. You know, if you look at some of the songs on the musical soundtrack to Hair, those songs were reflective of the baby boomer generation. And in many cases, they're songs about equality. So much of the music that we listen to was music about equality. And I think it's just really embarrassing that in 2025, we have this surgence of racism. It's not new. It pops up now and then. But I still think it's just, I think it's quite embarrassing. Now, the guys who are shouting on Decatur Street, they have a right to do that. I mean, I don't think you can arrest somebody for shouting out white power. They have a right to do it, but I don't think it's right. You know, there may be a reason, and I've kind of touched on this through the years. I read some books back in the 90s when I was on WWL. And it started out, it was books by John Nesbitt. And the first book was Megatrends. And then it was Megatrends for Women. And then it was Megatrends 2000. And John Nesbitt was really, really brilliant when he talked about certain trends. And he brought up a theory that is really not discussed in the media. He brought up a theory about why there might be racism. He didn't exactly apply it to racism and specifically what's going on. But I'm going to tell you what he said coming up in a few minutes. I'll tell you what he said, and I'll tell you how it does apply to racism today. It's not an excuse. I think it could be a reason for racism. But you know, this idea that African Americans are raping your women and stealing your jobs is something that you've been told. It's really a myth. There are plenty of jobs out there. And if you are white, you have had privileges in this country. But then if you're white, like I am, I didn't have privileges that a lot of white people had. I don't know what doors may have been open for me. But, you know, I was always the underdog, even in this business. Nobody gave me a chance. I mean, I had to fight for every opportunity I got. I mean, people didn't come along and say, hey, you know, scoot this, scoot that. Hey, you're great. No, man, I sucked in the beginning. I had to fight my way to get to this point. And there were a lot of times that I didn't get jobs I wanted to get. Now, there were times when, you know, I was successful and, you know, people wanted to hire me, and that was a cool thing. But I had to fight for everything I got. And that's one reason I think I can relate to a lot of people who are not white, because not every white person had that privilege. Not every white person has family wealth. Not every white person had parents pass away that had property that they inherited. I mean, my family, we didn't have anything. Nothing. And so when my parents passed away, we had nothing. And a lot of baby boomers suddenly got rich when their parents died because their parents left them life insurance money, left them houses that they either moved into and had a free house, or they sold the house and had money to put down on another house. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people benefited from life insurance and from property that was passed down. But please understand, if you're non-white, please understand that not every white person had that. You know, I didn't have that. And I'm not alone. A lot of other white people did not have that. But still, this fear of other races is confusing to me. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I want to mention that one of the artists that was very much against the National Front, who was part of this concert with The Clash, was Billy Idol. Billy Idol was on the right side of all of this. I'm Scoot on the air, and we're going to come back and continue this conversation here on WWL. Hey, I got to tell you, I am one white guy who doesn't understand racism. I don't freaking get it. But boy, there's some mean-ass people in this world. So let me tell you just briefly, before I get to your calls, let me tell you briefly what this author, John Nesbitt, said in his books, Megatrends. I think it was in the second one or the third one that he wrote. I don't remember which one. I read all three of them, and they kind of blur together. But John Nesbitt, this author, theorized that the more we become one through mass communication, and again, this started many, many years ago, but mass communication has made us one. For example, a long time ago, teenagers in Japan, teenagers in New York and America, teenagers in Germany, and teenagers in Russia all looked different. They looked indigenous to their countries. Their hairstyles, their clothing, they looked different. Look what mass communication has done. We're all exposed to the same thing, essentially, at the same time. And this was very prominent in America. You know, everybody had MTV. So you had teenagers in, like, small rural communities looking the same as hip teenagers in Los Angeles because they got MTV. And so it's global communication, mass communication. And this is, you know, what I've learned in my studies of communication over the years, communication theory. Mass communication has made us one. We all look alike. Right now, teenagers in Japan, New York, the United States, Germany, and Russia, they all look alike. They essentially have the same hairstyles. They essentially have the same fashion. They like a lot of the same kind of music. And we've become one. John Nesbitt said, the more we become one, there's going to be this intrinsic desire in each of us, and then in each of us part of a group, to try to maybe cling on to who we were as individuals, and fearing that we're going to lose our identity as individuals, we may actually revolt against that idea of becoming one and we want to revert back into who we are. Applying this to racism, there are people who feel like the more we are brought together, the more they're losing who they are. I don't think this is a legitimate excuse, but it may be a reason. So therefore, the more we become one, homogenized as a society and a global community, the more we are going to revert back into who we are. And in some cases, that might mean people who are white want to revert back into being proud of being white, but also hating those that make them not feel like they are what they once were. And there was a time when even more so than today, when whites ruled totally. And there are people that want to revert back to that. But that's not America. And that is not American, because we're a very diverse country. Let's go to Terry in LaRonger, who's been on hold for a few minutes. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon, Scoot.
Good afternoon.
I was calling in regard to the curse words.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about profanity earlier and how Saturday Night Live, according to Bo and Yang, would be funnier if they were able to use the S word and drop the F-bomb, and that really podcast and streaming shows and YouTube channels really have made profanity sort of a part of mainstream America now, but it's still not used on broadcast stations, radio and television.
Right, right. I was at the rec center last night watching my grandson play baseball, and all the little kids were saying, I mean, every curse word in the book. And I remember thinking, is it just going to become such a common part of our vernacular, they're not really going to be curse words anymore?
Well, I think that's happening. And I think it's happening because, again, as I mentioned, you know, people hear a podcast or they've listened to YouTube or they view something, and in many cases they are listening or viewing it on the same device where they listen or view broadcast media. And so to them, it's really kind of the same thing, and not everybody distinguishes between that which is streamed or that which is not broadcast and that which is broadcast. And, you know, it's still, for the most part, profanity is not part of broadcast media. But as I have said, broadcast media has changed a lot. So you heard the kids cursing?
Oh, yes. Yeah. the MF is in an all.
How old were the kids?
They're 7, 8, 6.
Really? Yeah,
really,
I mean, they get
young.
That. I think in some cases they get it from game shows. Video games.
That's possible, or their parents, or just the community in general. Everybody talks that way, and I wonder, will it lose its power of profanity if eventually it does become a regular word?
Well, it will. If it does become even more acceptable, and it is becoming more acceptable, it's going to lose some of its power because it's no longer going to be forbidden. I think we're really close to the day when BS is going to be able to just be said on broadcast radio and broadcast television. I think we're close to that. I sense that because there are a lot of things that nobody said on radio when I was first getting into the business, and now I've seen those things acceptable. So. Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up an interesting point. It's going to be less dramatic if it becomes even more popular. Terry, I appreciate the call. I really have to get to a break here. But if you're on hold, please just hang on and stay with us. And I'll get to your calls as soon as we come back after the news at 3 o'clock. But I do have to get to a break here. But yeah, I want to continue to talk about racism because it's there are people who want to say slavery was a long time ago. It was. But you know what wasn't a long time ago? The way America treated African Americans. That's part of the baby boomer African American population. I mean, I witnessed it as a baby boomer. And African American boomers, they lived it. And they tell those stories to their kids and to their grandkids. That was not that long ago. And so I do think it's important to not allow yourself to be held back by the past. And as bad as the past was, everybody has to move on. But I don't really understand this desire to feel like you are superior to other people. Because whatever group you're criticizing, there are people in that group smarter and richer than you. So what's the justification of the criticism? Again, hang on. We're going to continue this conversation. And also, if you send us a text, we'll get to some of your text messages. All right, if you've got to join us, if you want to join us with a comment, Elkin Hart Jewelers, talking text line, 504-260-1870. I'm a white guy, and I don't understand racism. All right, so I don't understand racism. And if you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get to your calls right after the news. We're talking about racism. There's a guy shouting racist comments on Decatur Street. And now there's a far right wing fight group. It's using fitness and youth to try to introduce them to neo-Nazi ideology. That's coming up.